Man, can you hear me okay?
Yep.
Are you back? Is Brother Rob at the controls?
Yes, he is.
We're in trouble then. Amen. Take your Bibles and open the book of Proverbs. For first year school, man, y'all looking good. Look at this. Are the boys smarter than the girls, or the girls smarter than the guys? Guys are smarter? Okay. All right. Who's better looking, the girls or the guys? The girls are? Who runs faster? The guys. Hey, who gets in trouble more? Hey, all right. Are the girls better at football though? See, now we're gonna have a fight. That's all there is to it. Proverbs chapter 23, and just open your Bibles there and hold your Bibles there if you don't mind. And where's Levi at? Where you at, Levi? Come here, man. Come here. I told you last night I was going to use you. You have a seat right there. Bring your Bible. Bring your Bible. You're going to need your Bible. Amen. Bring your Bible. Put yourself right up there, if you don't mind, and have a seat. There you go. Wonderful. You're looking good. Looking good. If you will listen to me, I can help you, okay? And I'm really not going to rear back and preach hard. I want to talk to you from the Bible, but I believe that you'll learn something that I know will help you, all right? How many, you have your Bibles, the book of Proverbs, everybody there? Yeah. If you have it, say Ungawa.
Ungawa.
I have no idea what that means. It may mean your mom is ugly. I have no idea, but sounds good, amen? The book of Proverbs is all about, well, let's pray first and then we'll get started. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, once again for all that you've done. Lord, I pray that you take this time and, Lord, please use it. Lord, the subject I'm going to cover is one of just utmost importance. And Lord, if I could preach one sermon to every young person on a Tuesday morning or a Thursday morning or a Friday morning, a morning chapel like this in this Christian school, this would be it. Lord, I pray that the teenagers will listen. I pray that the grade school people will listen. And Lord, I pray that you'd help me, Lord, to be very good at following your leading, Holy Spirit, that your will might be done. Bless these young people. Lord, they're our future. Lord, they're the future of this church, and they're the future of our country. And Lord, help them to realize this is not a wasted time. Lord, this is a time where you're going to build us and you're going to teach us. And you're going to make something very clear in our hearts. Help us now, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The book of Proverbs, and I read the book of Proverbs, read a chapter from the book of Proverbs every single day. And I've been doing that for an awfully long time. But the book of Proverbs is all about a dad. And I need you to listen very, very closely. It's all about a dad telling a son, this is my son, I'm a failure. Just kidding. It's all about a dad, and I'm going to be your dad for a little bit, okay? All right? I know I'm not as good as your dad, but I'm going to try. Amen? It's all about a dad teaching his son about how to handle life. That's all the book of Proverbs is. Book of Proverbs is a dad coming to a son and saying, son, one day you're going to face a lot of different people in life. Let me teach you how to handle everybody you come into contact with. My father, when I was growing up, would do this. He would take about 15 minutes every single day when I hit about 12. And he would take 15 minutes every day that he was in town or I would see him. Wouldn't be a day go by that he wasn't at the house, that he would say, hey, sit down, let me talk to you. And the book of Proverbs is all about that. It's all about Solomon coming to his son and saying, son, you're going to meet a lot of different people out there. Son, you're going to meet angry people out there. In your lifetime, you will come across people who have anger issues. They are mad all the time. Now, understand this, son. Don't make friends with an angry man. If you read the book of Proverbs, he tells his son, son, don't make friends with an angry man. You make friends with an angry man, you'll be in a lot of trouble the rest of your life. In fact, he says this, don't go anywhere with a furious man. Because if you ever get in a chariot with a furious man and he get a little bit of road rage and he pulls over and decides to knock somebody out, you're in the middle of problems. See, it was very important to Solomon to put into Solomon, Solomon put into his son everything he would need to be a man. And I'm going to stop right now and tell you this, young people. I don't believe that you're dumb. I hear a lot of times people tell teenagers, well, you're dumb and you're stupid, and tell young people you couldn't come out of the rain if your life depended on it. And when I was being raised in the 80s, when I was a teenager in the 80s, that was the attitude that they took toward teenagers and people who led teenagers. I'm going to tell you right now, you're very smart individuals.
That's right.
You know how to take a computer and tear it apart. You know how to take these PlayStation games and get to the next level. You're very smart young people. You're not dumb by any means. But I'm going to tell you right now, because you are smart, if you will listen to your mom and your dad and your preacher and your principal and your teachers, you will become an awesome adult if you will just listen. You'll face a lot of people. And that's what Solomon's goal was, to put in his son everything that his son would need to face any kind of person out there. He says, son, you're going to meet scorners. You're going to meet people. And the word scorner, son, means that they mock. They interpret the rules. Like, for instance, if a teacher says, raise your right hand, guess what hand they raise? The left. Did they raise their hand? Sure they did. Did they raise the exact hand that the teacher told them? No, that's a scorner. That's a scorner. You know what the Bible says? A scorner is always trying to interpret what they've been told. You got rules here at the school, true?
Yeah.
You got rules? And the principal and the rule book says, this is exactly how we do it. We got a rule at the youth department there. We got standards, you know, we live by. And it's this standard, ma'am, take your tie and shove it all the way to the top of your Adam's apple. Get that tie right up there. We ain't no cool dudes around here. We're Christians. Put it right up there. The maker of that shirt meant for it to be buttoned, and the maker of that tie meant for it to meet that button right up there. I got guys who think they're cool, you know, and they'll put that tie down there, and they'll unbutton that button, come swabbing them way into the youth department. I'll just stop and say, either you put it up or I'm going to put it up. But some by the time you leave here, it's going to be up. Amen. Now, were they wearing a tie to church? Sure. But was it exactly like we wanted? No, that's a scorner. He says, son, don't ever get hooked up with those kind of people. You stay away from those kind. Those kind of people are late on their bills. They go, well, one day, it says, I know it's due on the 20th. But it's okay if I get it in on the 25th. It's still got two in it. And that's what he says, son, I want to put in you everything you're going to need. He said, son, I want to talk to you about thieves. You're going to meet people who steal. Now, you're going to meet two kinds of people who steal. One person steals because their family's hungry. If you ever find somebody in the hen house stealing a chicken because he's trying to feed his family, you have a little bit of mercy on him. Understand it a little bit. Don't excuse it, but understand it. And you make him work for what he was going to steal to feed his family. But if you ever wake up in the middle of the night and there's a guy stealing just to be stealing, you take your .357, you just point it right at him, you blow him out of this earth. In Texas, that's how we do it. Amen.
Amen.
He said, you have no mercy on a guy who steals just to be stealing. See, it was very important to Solomon, y'all, to put into Levi and put into his son everything he would need to be a great dad and a great father, to where he wouldn't come back home. That's what the book of Proverbs is all about. It was all about Solomon putting into his son everything he needs. You're going to meet fools. You're going to meet scorners. You're going to meet simple people. You're going to meet the blonde people of the world. You're going to meet people that were like in the city of Nineveh that don't know their right hand from their left. You're going to meet people who really are gullible people. They're people who believe everything you tell them. My wife, when we were in high school, I played on the baseball team, and we were getting ready for baseball practice. Here come my wife walking down the, my wife at the time, Kelly, walking down the thing, and here she come. So I had a pump there, and so I took the pump and took a basketball needle. You know how you blow up basketballs or footballs? You don't know that, ma'am? You know that? Okay, she's sitting there going, oh. And I put that baseball between my knees and I stuck that needle in the seam and I'm sitting there and I had a row of baseballs right there and I was doing this like this and Kelly come by and said, well, what are you doing? I said, oh, I'm pumping up the baseballs. And I'm just pumping up the baseballs, you know, and I feel it and she said, I didn't know that you pumped up baseballs. I said, yeah, that's what them seams are for. I said, you ever felt the baseball that's mushy? She said, yes. I said, it's because it didn't have enough air in it. And it's my job to pump up the baseballs. And she said, really, can I help? I said, oh, that would be great because I got something I got to go do. I said, you sit down right here, and if you'll just hold this baseball and put it between your knees right there and stick the needle in, and you just sit here and pump. If you'll pump the next 10 baseballs, that would help me out a lot. I picked my baseball glove up, picked my cleats up, and I walked out to the baseball field. And she's sitting there pumping up the baseballs, and the coach comes walking through and says, what are you doing? Oh, I'll be done just a second, coach. I'll get them all done for you. And he says, who told you to do this? That's a simple person. That's a very simple person. But you know what he told his son? He said, son, you be careful how you treat them simple people. And you don't make sure you don't teach them anything that will hurt them. You can't read the book of Proverbs, young person, without coming away with Solomon. It was very important to him. But he said, son, there's only one group of people that you will meet in your lifetime that you'll never be able to handle. I can teach you how to handle a con artist. I can teach you how to handle a fool. I can teach you how to handle a thief. I can teach you how to make big business deals. I can teach you how to buy a car. I can teach you how to buy a house. I can teach you how to make money. I can put everything into you, and I have enough confidence about you that you will be okay in this life. But there's only one group of people that you will meet in your lifetime you'll never be able to handle. And in Proverbs 23, he makes a statement. I want you to go to it. Proverbs 23 and verse 26. This is the only time in the book of Proverbs that you find Solomon making a request of his son to give him something. Look what it says here. Proverbs 23:26. And I want you to read with me the very first two phrases there to the second comma. Are you ready? Here we go. Ready? My son, give me thine heart. He said, son, I can put into you everything you're going to need to be smart enough to make big business deals. You can handle encyclopedia salesmen. You can handle car salesmen. You can handle telemarketers. You'll be able to handle them all and you'll be a very rich, wealthy man. You got it in you. But there's one group that you'll never be able to handle. He said, you better give me your heart. Why? And I want you to look what it says here, verse 26. My son, give me thine heart, let thine eyes observe my ways. Verse 27 says this, for a whore is a deep ditch, and a strange woman is a narrow pit. If you're a lady, female, single female, would you stand, please? Okay, just go ahead and stand. It's okay. It's okay. Go ahead. Could you stand, ladies? Would that be okay? Girls, could you stand? There you go. He said, son, I can teach you how to handle a fool. I can teach you how to handle a scorner. I can teach you how to make big business deals. I can teach you how to do anything you want to do in life. You're smart enough to do it. And Levi, and I'm just going to tell you right now, you come from a very smart family. I mean that. I'm very impressed with your family. And if you follow suit and you follow everything that your dad and your mom are trying to teach you and your brother's trying to teach you, you will outdo all of them. You're very smart, and I mean that. But I want you to look at the only creature God made that you never will understand. You never will be able to handle. And that right there, son, look at him, will be your downfall. They'll cost you money, man. They'll cost you heartache. They'll make you so frustrated you'll want to put your fist through the wall at one time. You can have a seat, ladies. And you know what he said to Solomon said to his son? He said, son, give me your heart. He said, give me your heart, because if you get hooked up with the wrong one, and I want you all to look at what he said there in the word. Look what he said in verse 27. For a whore is a deep what? Ditch. And a strange woman is a narrow pit. Do you realize if you emotionally, Levi, get wrapped up with the wrong female, that you will be in a deep ditch in a narrow pit? You see, a whore in the Bible was a bad moral woman. And I'm not saying any of these ladies even come close to this, but a whore in the Bible was a bad moral woman. A strange woman was anybody not your mama and not your sister. They're strangers. Someone you don't know. And it's very easy to look at somebody in your lifetime and go, I believe that lady more than I believe my mom and my dad. And I've seen it happen so many times with young people, it makes me sick. To where they get so emotionally wrapped up with a girl or a guy to where they don't believe their mom and dad anymore. And all of a sudden, the mom and dad try to talk to them about life. Nope, I'm old enough. I can do whatever I want to do. You're smart, man, but you're not that smart. In fact, if you look what Solomon said, listen to what he said. Let thine eyes observe my what? Ways. Listen to the conversation between Solomon and his son. Son, trust me on this one, man. I'm a smart guy. But I had to do this 700 times. I had 700 wives. I'm a smart man, but I ain't that smart. And then I have 300 substitutes. Now, you think you got it bad being a stepchild? Solomon's son had 699 stepmothers. You think you're going nuts between maybe everybody trying to tell me what to do. Solomon's son had 699 stepmothers and 300 substitute mothers that took over when the others got tired. And Solomon said, son, I blew it in this area because emotionally I got wrapped up. Now, young people, I'm going to give you the best piece of advice you ever hear a preacher give you coming through your life, and it's this right here. You better watch out what you do with someone of the opposite gender. Because if you get hooked up with the wrong one, it will either destroy your life or it'll make your life. It'll be very, very important to you. You've got one shot at getting married. You've got one shot at your purity. You've got one shot to do this thing right. And you better listen to the Word of God when it says Solomon's talking to his son. And he says, son, you're a smart guy. You'll be able to make it in life. You'll be a rich guy. You'll have cattle. You'll have houses. You'll have lands. But there's one area you'll never be smart enough to handle. And that's someone of the opposite gender. Because if you emotionally get hooked up with them too soon, you'll fall into a deep ditch and a narrow pit and you'll never be able to get out. I work with a lot of young people. And in 19 years of working with young people, I've seen a lot of young people start out your age and grow up to be your age and then graduate and ruin their life. Well, no one know why? Because they weren't smart enough to realize this one thing. I've got to give my heart away to my mom and my dad before I give it away to a boy or a girl. You know, the lesson I want to teach you this morning is this. Give your heart to your mom and dad. Let your mom and dad hold your emotions. Let your mom and dad help you with this. You say, well, my mom and dad aren't spiritual. Then let your youth pastor and a youth pastor's wife help you. You say, well, my youth pastor's not spiritual. Then go to your pastor. Do you know you have such a great support system around here that there's no reason for any one of you to blow it in life? It'll all be important to you what's going to happen to you after you get out of here. It'll all be important to you what happens to your purity. It'll all be important to you that you have a good marriage. I'm going to tell you right now, the only thing I've got to my name is my family. And I am so thankful that one day when I was 17 years of age, I gave my heart to my mom and my dad. You say, now, Brother Bob, why should I give my heart to my mom and dad? Why should I let them help me with this? You know what the biggest fear is? Hey, you know what? How many of you know who Matthew Henry is, the missionary? You know who Matthew Henry is? The missionary. He's not Matthew Henry, the commentary guy, but Matthew Henry, the missionary in India. And he came and stayed at our house and he was staying there while he was summer between Bible college. And I can remember being a teenage kid and I said, hey, Matthew, Hey, Matthew, are you getting married? And I was giving him a hard time. He said, yes, I am. I said, you are? He said, yes, I am. He said, the summer before my senior year, my parents have arranged for me to get married. He's from India. I said, like, arranged? He said, yes. I said, do you know who she is? No. I said, have you ever seen her? Once. I said, when? He said, when I got on the plane to come to America 5 years ago. I said, you're kidding. He goes, no, I am so in love and so happy. And I said, you've never seen her? He said, tell me about it. He said, I was getting on the plane. My parents said, see that girl over there? And she had this, in India, you know, they had this girl on like this. And all he could see was this right here. This right here. And mom and dad said, see that lady right there? That's who you're going to marry the summer before your senior year. Her parents and us have arranged it ever since y'all have been 5 years old. I looked at Matthew. I went to my dad and I said, thank God I don't live in India. I ain't letting you pick my bride out, that's for sure. And you know what the fear is? My mom's going to pick out the ugliest guy for me. My dad would pick out a dweeb, a nerd. I don't want nobody ugly. You know what the fear is, honestly, Levi? The older you get, the more the fear is going to be realized, if it's not already. I don't want a hag for a wife. And there's nothing wrong with that. But I'm going to tell you right now, you're not smart enough to pick her. And you know what? And that's not, doesn't mean you're dumb, Levi. And I'm not even saying you're stupid. I'm just saying you're not smart enough. And so what the Bible says is this, and we're going to let this represent your heart. The Bible says, you hold in your possession, every one of you do, your emotions and your heart. You know what Dad's saying? My son, give me thine heart. Let me help you with this. This is one thing I can't teach you. You'll never understand it. Why should you give your mom and dad your heart? Let me give you five words that I think are very, very important, and I'm going to go right through them and listen very closely. The first word of reason why you need to give mom and dad your heart is the word timing. I want you to say that back to me. Are you ready? Is the word what?
Timing.
One more time. Is the word what?
Timing.
Do you know timing's everything? In life, timing is everything. Timing makes the difference between a home run and a ground ball. Timing makes the difference between a catch pass by the Michigan receiver and a drop pass. That's it. Timing, do you know timing makes a difference, girls, in how your hair turns out and how it doesn't turn out? Come on now. 30 seconds longer and it's... If I would have stopped 30 seconds earlier, it would have been great. Timing's everything. Timing's everything in cooking. Do you know if you leave something in too long, it's hard. If you take it out too early, it's soggy. Timing's everything. And let me tell you something. From the time you give your heart to the time that you act upon those emotions, you only have so much time. That's it. You only have so much time. And Solomon knew that, and he said, son, give me your heart. And when you give me your heart, why? Because it's timing, man. Are you ready to get married right now? You're not. Why not? You a guy? You sure? Okay, do you like girls? Do you like guys? Okay, all right, good. But timing's everything. So let's say you give your heart away right now. How old are you? 15. And let's say you give that heart away to somebody. All right? When you give your heart away and you go, oh, that's him, that's her, that's him, that's her. And you give your heart away, you can only stay there. And I've only seen it happen. And you stay there for 2 years and that's it. You want to know why? Listen very closely. Love was meant to grow. God always meant love to grow. God always meant for those feelings to grow. And when it's done right, it's a pretty thing. But when it's done wrong, it's an ugly thing. And it'll hurt you, young person. Timing. That's why most of our young people don't go to Bible college. You want to know why? I'm going to tell you why. Because they get so wrapped up that right out of high school they get married and they don't enjoy those single years after they get out of high school. Why? Timing. You hook up and give your heart away too soon, you will absolutely ruin your life. But I'm 14 and I'm going to be an old maid. No, you're not. Well, I need a woman. No, you don't. I need my man. No, you don't. Timing's everything. And if you have the ability to give your mom and dad your heart and talk to your mom and dad and go sit down with them and discuss what's going on in your heart, you will allow them to help you through life. But young person, there's no sense of ruining your morals just because you think you have to be part of the status quo. Timing. Timing's everything. You know what it ought to be? It ought to be right when you're coming out of high school. You ought to be excited about college. You ought to be excited about living the single adult life. Amen? And getting involved. And enjoying being an adult. Why do you want to rush you? Well, I know a friend that got married right out of high school and they're happy. They've only been married 6 months. And I'm going to tell you right now, for every one of us who got married young, I can show you a dozen never made it. And it is by God's grace, young people, how I did not blow my life wide open. And being youth pastor now for a long time, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm sick up to here with young people ruining their life needlessly. Amen. If Solomon couldn't handle it, what makes you think that you or I are any smarter? We're not. And he said, son, give me your heart, because if you fall into that ditch and you fall into that narrow pit, you ain't never getting out. Timing. Second word I want to tell you is this, personality. Personality. Do you know personalities are strong? Really is. I've noticed this, that when you give your heart away to a guy or you give your heart away to a girl, it does something to you. It unlocks, and listen to this statement, it unlocks the husband in you. And it unlocks the wife in you. Wives are very possessive. Did you know that? See him laughing? Wives are very possessive. I've been preaching now for a while, and sometimes I'll take my wife with me out preaching different places, and if I'm standing there signing Bibles or I'm standing there goofing off and joking around or whatever, anytime I feel my wife walk up next to me and slip her arm underneath that arm right there, it's always my left arm. I never quite understood that. And underneath my left arm, that's the cue after being married for 19 years that says, you stick right next to me, sweetheart, and if you leave my side, I'm going to kill a female somewhere around here. And I always look at her, I always pat her, and I'll go, getting close, huh? She said, too close. And I said, are you going to kill her now or are you going to wait later? If she approaches you, I'm going to kill her. And it's like, okay, all right, fine, wonderful, wonderful. You want to know why? Because when you get into a personality between a man and a woman, those personalities are very strong. And in a marriage, don't ever kid yourself. I run my house because my wife lets me. And I've seen teenage girls, Attila the Hun man, is like, whoa, I'm going to tell you right now, you be looking at my man. Don't you be looking at my man. That's my man. And you're 13. That's be my man. You want to happen in here? You've given your heart too soon, and it's unlocked that wifely possession. I'm a slave. I got a master. It's called my wife. And don't let anybody kid you. I can be macho as I want to. All my wife has to do is do this. Are you ready? Drop that head, cock them eyebrows, and I am like, yes, dear. Anything I can do. And don't let any man ever kid you. The power of the home is in the skirt. You're right. Am I right or am I wrong, preacher? And let me tell you something. I've seen it happen. All of a sudden you see teenagers get hooked up and teenagers give their heart away. And it makes that girl just like, whoa. You know what it makes the guys? It makes the guys wimps. I'm here. I got to go potty though, but I'll be right back. Will that be okay? And I've seen, yes. Okay. And I've seen guys follow around the, you've seen that, haven't you? Follow the girl around and it's almost like, and the girl sits up here with her friends and the guy just patiently sits back here. Just patiently waits for a nod, a look. Oh. And it's turning our guys into wimps. You guys ought to be saying amen. You guys ought to be flat stinking out there on that plank living for God. Not really stinking caring what that woman thinks. Amen. You know why guys don't say amen? Because they're scared what the girls are going to think. Because no girl wants to date a guy that's like, amen, preacher! And them go, oh my soul. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm tired of wimps. I'll tell you where they come from, because you fall into a deep ditch and a narrow pit, and you're so tied up in your emotions with that young lady that you don't want to do anything to embarrass yourself. Well, you know, when Christ hung naked on the cross, that was a big embarrassment. But he suffered shame for us. And let me tell you something, guys. You listen to me very, very closely, junior boys. Girls got cooties. In fact, my daughter has fatal cooties. When you give your heart away, the personality is too great. It really is. There's that power. And a husband is supposed to be the guy that meets the needs of his wife. I got no problem as a husband sitting behind my wife in life and going, what do you need? That's my job. My job is to keep that third eye on my wife. My job is when I walk in that door to go, anything you need. My job is to call my wife and go, sweetheart, are you okay? Is there anything you need? My job is when I walk in that house and she's had a rough day taking care of the kids, is to step up to the plate and go, you need me to do laundry? Do you need me to do dishes? Do you need me to vacuum? Do you need me to dust? What do you need me to do? Now that's foreign because they're laughing back there. And can I tell you something? Because my whole job, listen to me, the Bible says this, that Christ gave himself for the church. Christ condescended to man to bring man back to heaven. And the relationship between a husband and a wife is this. I am to condescend to my wife because she's the weaker vessel to meet her need. But that's after you get married, not now. I hate it when girls go to guys, would you get me a refill? And the guys go, oh, I would love to get you a refill. Look at them and go get your own stinking refill. And I think you ought to be a gentleman, open doors. I told a lady the other day coming through a door. She said, oh, you didn't have to open that for me. I don't need a man to open the door. I said, ma'am, I didn't open it because you needed it. I opened it because I'm a man. And I'm a gentleman.
Amen.
You see, the personality, and it slays me. You know, girls are different from guys. Did you know that?
Yeah.
Seriously. Girls do things guys would never ever think of doing. For instance, you let that row of girls have to go to the bathroom. You think one just goes? Come on now. No. The whole row gets up and goes. And it's almost like they got telepathy between the brain. It's almost like, you gotta go, I gotta go, you gotta go, I gotta go. Okay, tell everybody, on the count of three, we all go. Go. And they all stand up and go. And I've never understood that. You let a row of guys, you let that row of junior boys right there look over, hey buddy, you gotta go to the bathroom, I gotta go to the bathroom, you gotta go to the bathroom, hey, let's all go. And they go, where are you guys going, potty? It's like, you can't do that. Girls go together. Guys don't go together. Okay, you let guys on a trip. You let girls on a trip. When they get tired, what do? They put their head on each other's shoulder. You let two guys try that. Come on now. We got problems if that ever happened. They're going to take a picture of that and send it to San Francisco. Amen. The personality's too great. Okay, my all-time favorite thing girls do, you ready? Which I never understood. You ready? I've seen two girls come into Sunday school, and they're carrying on this conversation. And the conversation's going like this. Great shoes. Oh, you like my shoes? Great shoes. I think your shoes match my outfit better than my shoes do. And my shoes match your outfit better. Oh, they really would. You want to switch? And they'll switch. Am I telling the truth, girls? It's like that outfit. You spend the night together, you come out wearing each other's clothes. And I've never quite understood it. You let two guys go, hey, Levi, man, I love those pants. Those pants match better than, you want to switch pants? I ain't wearing Tommy's pants and I ain't wearing Levi's pants. I'm wearing Bobby's pants. Amen? The personality. Why should you give your heart? Because I'm going to tell you right now, no guy's ever been able to stand up with the look. You girls, drop that head and you go. And there's something about the flip of the hair. You flip that hair, guys go, oh. I mean, you flip the hair out of your nostrils and guys go, ooh, okay. So the personality's too great. First one is timing. Second one's personality. The third reason why you give your heart is this, the possibility. The possibility. How many know somebody, being very delicate here, how many know somebody that has messed their life up, that maybe is a friend of yours or maybe somebody you know? Would you raise your hand? Yeah. How many know somebody that was with child before they ever got married? Raise your hand. Isn't that sad? Isn't that, you asked that question 20 years ago. Not as many hands went up. To me, that's sad. How did it get there? Possibility. Is it possible, young lady and young man, for you to ruin your life? Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Is it possible for me to ruin my marriage? You better believe it. And that's why Solomon said, I've been down this road. I know what it's involved here. You give me your heart, son. 700 times I blew it. 300 substitutes. And I've absolutely ruined my life. And at the end of his life, it said his wives turned his heart away from his God. Son, I don't want that to happen to you. I can teach you how to handle a lot of things in life, but you'll never be able to handle a girl. Give me your emotions. Give me your heart. Timing. Personality, possibility. Next, availability. 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 Let me tell you something. God's got something. This is going to sound really bad, and this is going to sound terrible. I don't mean this the way it sounds. God's got somebody out there better for you than what's in here right now. You know, everybody here right now has to be here. Levi, I don't think you had a choice, buddy. What do you think? You didn't have a choice, did you? When your parents heard they're starting up the Christian school, did they go, nah? Is that what they said? No. What was their attitude? You're going, right? Did you have a choice? No, neither do they. So why? How do you know they're for real, man? You don't. The only time you're going to know they're for real is when they walk across this platform, they graduate from high school, then see what they do. You know how your brother found a good wife? He knew she was for real. Availability, man. Wait for that right one. You know, I tell the girls in my youth department, you hold out for the best. I wouldn't settle for anything less than the best. And I tell the guys, you hold out for the best, man. Availability. You just hold out. Because if you don't give your heart to your parents, you're not smart enough to do this. And life can get out of control real quick. I'll end with this. Now you get to become my girlfriend. You're going from my son to my girlfriend. And he just said, yes, I'm in trouble. We got to take a conference here. Everything. Oh, good night. Very good. Got it? All right. Do you know what? Here's how it goes with teenagers. All right. Take your hands out of your pocket. He's going to be the girl. I'm going to be the guy. Are you ready? And there's always a progression in every relationship. And it starts out like this. I like you. Is there a mic? Is this mic work, brother? Turn that mic on. Got that thing on? Have a mic. No, no, you keep the mic. I like you. Talk to the mic. You getting this on tape, brother?
I like you too.
Come on, louder. Keep the mic up there. Just keep the mic up there. Are you ready? I like you.
I like you.
This is sick. This is sick. And do you know what? When you give your heart away, that's how it usually starts. It starts with, I like you. It starts with, I like you.
I like you too.
I like you.
I like you.
I like you. This is sick.
You like it.
No, I don't. Shut up. It goes from I like you, and then the next step that this relationship's going to go to is... I love you.
I love you too.
I really love you.
I really love you.
I really, really love you.
I really love you.
You know, don't look in my eyes when you say that. All right? Because I like you, I love you. And then the next and final step is I do. Now, here you are, two 14-year-olds, two 15-year-olds, junior, senior in high school. Other than the state of West Virginia, can you tell me anybody who would allow two 15-year-olds in all good conscience to get married? How old are you?
15.
So you're not going to get married, but you still have to go to that next stage. which is I do. So instead of getting married, guess what you start doing? You start acting like you're married. See, all marriage is, young people, is a symbol of what's going on in the heart. And that's why God said, marriage is a wonderful thing. Marriage is okay. But before you get married, to touch is against every law in that book. So it goes, I like you, I love you. And then I do. And then you find people. Then you find people acting in ways they shouldn't. Then you have a seat. Let me tell you something. Listen very closely. Pick your heart up. Yes, don't sit on your heart. You see, listen to me. There's nothing wrong with the feelings you have. There's nothing wrong with the emotions you have. Nothing wrong with any of that. But I'm saying this. You better have somebody help you through this. If you want this school to be a great school, if every one of you are actively going, I'm giving my heart to somebody and letting them help me. Then it grows. And then you'll find the right one. But you know whose decision it is, man? It's yours. It's your decision what you're going to do, Levi. Your parents can only stand out here and say, son, let me help you. Well, let me help you. Son, we want you to have a great marriage. We want you to have the best you can ever have. We don't want you to mess up. We want you to be a virgin and be pure when you step out here and your bride walks down that aisle. We want you to have the best. And we know what girls will make bad wives. And we know what girls will make bad mothers. And we know what girls are just a flirt and a floozy and they'll be unfaithful to you. Levi, we know that. Well, you'll be blinded by their looks and blinded by the sweet talk and blinded by the damsel in distress. We know that, Levi. And if you'll give us your heart, we'll help you. And Levi, but that's your decision. Solomon says, my son, give me thine heart. Let thine eyes observe my ways, for a whore is a deep ditch and a strange woman's a narrow pit. My son, give me thine heart. Give me thine heart. You see how he hesitated? And the only reason a young person ever hesitates to let somebody help them is because they're not for sure that it'll work out okay. And I'm going to tell you right now, it works out every time. Every time. But you have to give your heart. Which means, Levi, that I hold this. And when you get interested in someone or you see somebody, because I'm holding your heart, you gave it to me, then come talk to me. I'm going to ask you a question, Levi. Don't answer out loud. But you're 15 years old. You're not blind and you're not dumb. And don't answer because you may have. I don't know. I don't want to know. But have you ever had a heart-to-heart discussion with mom and dad about how you feel on the inside about girls? And I ask that question to each of you. Girls, have you ever had a heart-to-heart how you feel about some guys? You say, I couldn't do that. If I did that, they would think I was stupid. I don't know of a parent one. I got a senior in high school. Let me tell you something. I don't know of a parent one that's not the most sacred discussion you could ever have. I beg you, young people. You're some great young people. And I was telling the preacher this morning, this is a great church. This is a great church. You got some great people. But don't ruin it and don't blow it. And I don't care if you say, well, Brother Bob, it's nobody's business but mine. Yeah, that's what Solomon thought. He absolutely ruined it. Smart man, not that smart. I'll tell you this illustration.